In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. A few weeks ago, I was sitting in front of the cross of San Damiano in a small church in Assisi. There's a very similar cross hanging at the east end of this cathedral. The cross in Assisi has had a remarkable part in the story of Christianity in the West. Because St. Francis was praying in front of that crucifix when he heard the cross speak to him, "Francis, go and repair my church, which, as you see, is falling down." And Francis went away and did just that. He went and got some stones from the town, some friends to help him, and with his own hands, he started to rebuild the church. And you can go and sit among the stones of the church that that magnificent saint personally built. After a while, it dawned on Francis that he'd got the wrong end of the stick. He'd misunderstood what his task was, and he realized that he'd been sent to repair the faith of people in the church. And he went on to have one of the most amazing pastoral prophetic preaching ministries the world has ever seen. Presently, in Guildford, there'll be scaffolding going up and repairs will happen to this great building. Does that mean that we've got the wrong end of the stick? Have we misunderstood? Buildings do matter. They are important. They are an important concern for us. But the question, I think, that lies underneath the buildings is, why are they here? Why have we, on this gloomy summer morning, come here to a windy hilltop in Guildford to spend some time? What's the motivation for being here? And I want to suggest that there's a key word that might unlock the answer, and the word is communion. When you think of the word communion, you may instantly imagine the wine on the altar and coming up to receive Holy Communion or the Eucharist. But I'm wanting to use a different sense of the word communion, rather the word that means fellowship. The sort of thing that goes on, maybe unfelt, unseen, between you and the other people in this building. During the week, much of the work for which I'm paid is about communion. Talking to other Christian churches around the world about what they think communion actually means in practice for how we live our lives. I got back yesterday from a meeting in Zurich with the old Catholic Church, and strangely, we were in a church that was next door to a certain luxury hotel where FIFA was in residence, and so we had the bizarre experience of seeing heavy security guards just down the road keeping the hoi polloi like us out of the sacred portals where Sepp Blatter lurked within. I wonder how many people here have heard of the old Catholics, or even know that we as Anglicans are in full communion with them and have been since 1931. What that means is that old Catholics and Anglicans can share the same sacraments, the same ministry, clergy can work in each other's churches. And that's really important. It's a huge sign of hope for the church in our day. But I don't want to stop there. I want to take the word communion and take us deeper. Always look deeper when you're dealing with the things of God. Communion, which is a demand for a deeper way of loving each other, a love that holds people together, that binds them together into something that is far more significant than just a social club. But I want to go deeper than that too. I want to go deeper than looking at the people, we who are here now, and go down to another level that lies under it. And I think that the purpose of this building we're sitting in now is that it enables a place for the people of God to come so that we can experience the source of all communion, which is God the Trinity. And that is to say that in God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is a perfect communion of love, flowing eternally and constantly pouring out creatively and redemptively. And that is what communion truly is. And the communion of life in the church that we share now reflects the communion that is the life of the Trinity. When you stop to reflect on that, it is awe-inspiring. That is what we are about now on this windy hilltop. In the communion of the church, we share in the divine life. It's a magnificent thing placed in front of us. Magnificent because in the Trinity, all things begin. All truth, all beauty, all love, all those things that move you at your deepest, most personal level, they begin in God, the Trinity. And the church and its buildings and its orders exist solely to draw us into the communion of the Trinity, and in that, to be changed. Isaiah was in another magnificent building, and he had a vision of God and God's glory, and a hot burning coal was placed on his lips, and he was made clean to preach the word of God. We receive in a building filled with smoke and music and glory, we receive an experience of God, the holy and mysterious Trinity. And we share in the bread and the wine, the sacrament that consecrates and feeds us as the communion people of God. And that's one very good reason indeed why the quality of our life together matters so much, because it's within and through the church that we come to know God the Trinity. There's a wonderful nugget or a gem maybe to take away and to enjoy during the week. An early Christian writer said, his name was Origen. Origen said, "The church is full of the Trinity. The church is full of the Trinity." And that's why the first thing we do when we come together as the people of God is to worship. It's the only thing you can do when you come across the depth and the glory of the majesty of God, the Trinity. Holy, holy, holy. And so our liturgy, the way we express our worship, our sacraments, our music, our buildings, our communion with each other sitting here, have one single overwhelming purpose, which is the praise and glory of God. Being changed by the Trinity is an extraordinary renewal. We heard about it in that majestic third chapter of John's Gospel. It's a very early glimpse, one of the first attempts to express the truth that God is three and God is one. The Father sends the Son. The Spirit gives us new birth into the divine life. And Nicodemus hears about it and he is overwhelmed by the depth and the newness of what is being unfolded for him. Baptism, as the moment of our rebirth by the Spirit, of our dying and rising with Christ, dying with the Son of Man, who is lifted up and lifts us up with him to share his life and to share his glory. So to keep this feast of the Holy Trinity should feel like the first time you look into space in a big telescope and see just how vast and incomprehensible it is. Or when you're in a boat at sea and you suddenly realize just how deep the ocean is under the thin keel that keeps you afloat. Except that God is truly infinite and eternal and without end. God has depths to which there is no end. There is no bottom that you can reach. You can only keep on going down into greater mystery and greater glory. Today, we're celebrating that supreme truth of goodness and beauty and love that we call the Trinity, into which splendor we're invited to come and to share the divine life of communion. To God, the Holy Trinity, be glory in the Church and in Christ Jesus, now and forever, and to the ages of ages. Amen.